Chapter 6 and verse 3. I am one who has a toolbox absolutely everywhere. There are two or three or four or don't tell my wife how many, five or six. In my workshop, I keep tool bags. I keep a bag that has just electrical tools in it, a bag that just has plumbing tools in it, so that if I'm grabbing something to do a particular job, I have one in my office, I have one in my truck, a big one in my truck. I don't have one in the house, so what I do is I just pile the tools up on top of things, and then I get in trouble for making a junk pile. But I have tools everywhere, and they're all the basics, and I have toolboxes all over the place, so that wherever I am, I can reach and get what I need to do the job at hand. God has a toolbox too. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, lo and behold, we're it. Paul writes, "Do not go on presenting the members of your body as a sin to instrument, an instrument of sin, of unrighteousness. Present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." That word literally means tool or weapon. And so we're being told by Paul that we are all tools, and we have a choice to be tools of unrighteousness, tools of destruction, tools that are not accomplishing the work of God, or we can be tools for righteousness. We can be tools and weapons that he's using in this world to accomplish the plan, to do the work, to do the remodeling of our world, and even the remodeling of our own lives. And just like my toolbox has a little bit of everything in it, so does God's. Because you see, he needs all kinds of tools. And so we read in other passages like Romans chapter 12 and other places about him fitting us together as the body of Christ, each one in his or her spot where he needs us. So he's making us tools of all kinds to do the work. So we're going to run through a few of them. Are you, for example, number one, a sledgehammer? Our immediate thought is destruction. But God can actually use a sledgehammer in a positive way. We use it to break down walls. We use it to break rock. We use it to remove barriers. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15. Put them on because I didn't read that last verse so smoothly. I was trying to write down a teacher for Vacation Bible School, and first of all, I wrote down the wrong name, and then I wrote it on the wrong age group, so because I didn't have my glasses on. Ephesians 4:15. "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ." Speaking the truth in love. God can use you in love to break down the barriers that are keeping other people from reaching him, to tear down the walls where the honest seeking hearts are on the outside and God's on the inside, and they don't know how to make access to him. They don't know where the door is, and so God can use us to tear away the barriers, to create openings, to create doors, so that they can find Christ. Are you a sledgehammer? Now, certainly you could be destructive if you are. But remember, we're talking about not tools in our hands necessarily, but tools in the hands of the Master as he's using us. Are you a crowbar? Used to pry things apart. Colossians chapter 3. And in this case, it's God using it in our lives as well as in the lives of others. "If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." And then he goes on to list some of the things that are not of this earth, or that are of this earth that we're to be away from. Consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. In verse 8, also anger and wrath and malice and slander and abusive speech. The old self of this practice is Galatians 5, 16 through 24 talks about the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the spirit. The idea of being God needs to pry certain things in love again out of our lives. And He needs to pry others away from Satan. You know, these things that seem to hang on in our lives, sometimes they're stubborn. Sometimes they don't leave our lives the minute we obey the gospel. And maybe they don't leave our lives when we've repented again or again. And so God has to get a little forceful. You know, sometimes you've got that nail that no matter how hard you pull with that hammer, it's not coming out. And you need more leverage. And so you get a pry bar. Can God use you to pry sin away and to pry sinners away from Satan? Are you maybe a chisel? In the right hands, chisels do beautiful work, do very meticulous, detailed work. In the hands of an accomplished sculptor, we end up with Michelangelo's David. We end up with works of art that end up in museums. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It's a passage that you hear me reference ever so often simply because I want to remind us where we are, but also where we're going. Paul writes, "But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit." The idea that yes, through Christ, He's already made us a beautiful work of art, the first glory. But we're being changed every day. He's chiseling away a little piece of us to change us more and more into the image of Christ. And so as that tool, are you a chisel? Are you chiseling away the parts of your life that don't look like Jesus? And through teaching and through love, as we've already looked at, are you doing that with others? Are you progressing towards the image or not? Are you... what a level. A level is what? Used to determine if something is true, if it's right. You might add a square, you might add a tape measure. Things that are making sure they're balanced, they're equal. Isaiah 50 and verse 20 says what? "Woe unto those who call good evil and evil good." In other words, we live in a mixed up world. We live in a corrupt world. We live in a dishonest world. We live in a world where if we're looking out there at their standards, we may not be able to tell what's right, what's level, what's square, what's fair, what's even. And so are you a level in God's hands? Are you a reliable standard of right and wrong? Do you know what the book says about certain subjects? Can people look to you as an example of those things? Are you maybe a plane? And for our young people, you've probably never seen one. Certainly never used one. But it's a tool that makes a rough surface smooth by repeatedly moving back and forth over the surface. All four Gospels speak of John as the forerunner of Christ. He's the voice in the wilderness crying, "Make way for the Lord. Lay straight the paths," Matthew 3 and verse 3 and Mark 1, 3 and so on. John's job was to get the world ready for Jesus, so that the Lord could walk with the path through this world. We're not forerunners. That man's already come. But we're what? Following in His footsteps, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. So are you forging a path for others to follow? Are you planning the path? Are you making it smooth and clear? 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ Jesus. And so if we're doing that, we're making a path that others can follow. And it'll be smooth through the work of the plane rather than bumpy. Are you maybe a magnet? Magnet's not normally in your toolbox as a tool by itself. It's something that connects to something else. It's on your drill to hold the bit in place. It's on your screwdriver to hold the screw in place. But it attracts, it draws things together. 2 Corinthians 2 in verse 14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in His triumph in Christ Jesus and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. You've been at work all day long. You've been at school all day long. You come home and before you get the front door open, you can smell the pot roast in the crock pot. Or if you're getting off the school bus, maybe Mama made chocolate chip cookies or peanut butter cookies. And that smell will physically draw you into the house. You may have had other things on your mind, but when you smell that smell, it's time to go in the house. Are we a smell? Are we an aroma? Are we a magnet that automatically draws people closer to Jesus? Or by our attitudes and our actions and maybe our looks, do we repel them? Are you drawing others to Christ? Are you a tool in the box? All of those tools have value. And there are so many others that we could pick out of a toolbox and name and find reasons that they might parallel in Scripture, like a saw, like a wrench, like a screwdriver. When used correctly, tools do good work. They accomplish the task, but they can also be used destructively. And so we have to be very careful that we're not misusing the gifts God has given us. That we're doing more damage than we're doing good. That we're destroying more than we're building. Paul uses the idea of tools or weapons two more times. This time in the book of 2 Corinthians. He uses it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 7. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons or the tools, same word there, of righteousness for the right hand and the left. And then in chapter 10 and verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare, or the tools of our battle, are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Certainly those references are spiritual. They're not physical. But the image I want you to have tonight is of the fact that we can use them to shape the world around us. To build, to create, to, when necessary, destroy sinful relationships, to separate from Satan. We can use them in our lives. But I'm not so worried about which tool you are. And I ask, are you this or are you that? I'm not so much worried about that tonight. What I want to ask you tonight is, are you a tool? I'm a lot more concerned with whether or not you're a tool in the master's hand. You're going to find your place if you are. But what I'm telling you is that every last one of us in here, and I'm making eye contact as I go around the room, has been qualified by God to do a job. God has made you a tool in the body of Christ. So are you in His toolbox where He's ready and able to use you? Are you usable? When God reaches in His toolbox and He has the job for whatever. He needs a missionary. He needs, as we've just sung about, He needs somebody to lift up a weary traveler. He needs somebody to carry a load. He needs somebody to put a life back together. Is He going to find what He needs in His toolbox? Or are you lost? Have you lost yourself somewhere along the way and you're no longer in the toolbox waiting on Him? Are you hiding? Maybe you don't think that you have the talent. Or you're afraid to put it on display, and so You know that tool that you look for that every time you go look for it, it's in the bottom of the toolbox. It doesn't matter where you put it last time. It's under everything else because it's hiding. Or for you ladies, when you reach in the cooking drawer and you're looking for a measuring spoon, it's always under everything else. Is that the way you are in the kingdom? Lord, please call on everybody else in the body before you get to me because I'm going to hide. I don't want to be put to work. Or are you pretending? Maybe God needs you and has designed you to be a sledgehammer and break down walls for the gospel, and yet you've tried to convince yourself that you're a screwdriver. And so you're pretending to be something God's not made you into because you don't want to do the job He's asked you to do. So it goes back to, are you a tool? The tool that He designed you to be? And are you readily available? Because I can promise you this. There will always be enough work in the body of Christ for all of us. God's not going to run out of jobs. God's not going to run out of things that He needs done. And so He's going to constantly reach in that toolbox. And He's going to reach for you, and He's going to reach for you, and He's going to reach for you. And He's going to reach for you, and I could go all the way around the room, however many there are of us tonight, and say that 125 times. But the choice of whether or not you're in the box, ready to go to work in the job that He's called you to, that's up to you. So are you a tool tonight? Are you usable and productive in the kingdom? If not, it's obvious from what we looked at, it's time to go to work. Fields are widened to the harvest. The jobs are available. God needs you tonight as we stand and sing.